I want to let you know something. I want to ask your prayers for something. Tomorrow night, I am getting on a plane on Turkish Airlines and flying to Istanbul and then to Thessaloniki, Greece, and then to the island of Lesbos, which is the island my mom grew up on in the northeastern Aegean. And my brother and sister and I, so I'm the baby, so I'm the fun one. My brother is like the dad, really. He kind of took that role on when my mom was divorced, and then my sister in the middle. My sister is a journalist in New York. My brother is a congregational pastor. And this will be the first time that we have been together for a long time, and we're taking my mother's ashes. This was her request to spread her ashes on kind of the beach where she spent a lot of time as a child. So she died in 2006, so this is kind of like our family. It took us a while to get it together, but we've got it together, and we are going. So pray for it for us, will you? And we have planned this so that we will be on the island during Greek Orthodox Holy Week and Easter next Sunday. So, I'd appreciate your prayers. Just said it would be a great time and that we don't kill each other. It's interesting, isn't it? Even when you get to be my age, it's still that pecking order, older brother, older sister, younger brother. And so it will be interesting. Somebody told me as they walked in today, you guys will be fighting in the back seat, and that's probably true. But praying for a great, great time. Boy, I tell you, getting permission to take someone's ashes to Greece is like moving a mountain. It was unbelievable how much time it took. And, you know, the Greeks, if they just speak louder and faster, they think they get their way. And that's what they do. And at the Greek consulate where I had to go, who we dealt with, just the whole translation, the whole thing was just, it was quite an adventure. But I think we're set. And it should be a great, great thing to do. So we've been working our way through Psalm 23. We're now on the third sermon of this much, much, much loved psalm written by David, who I said last week is one of the two towering figures of the Old Testament. David was Israel's greatest king, there's no doubt. And he's often referred to as a man after God's heart. In other words, David's heart seemed like it was open to God. He loved God and tried to do what God wanted him to do with his life. But that didn't translate into David having an easy life or a life free of trouble or hardship. And it also very much meant that David was perfect. And this is, I think, one of the reasons I love David, because I kind of feel like him. He made a lot of mistakes and did stupid things, which caused him great heartache. He had periods of life when he definitely felt distant from God. But he also had these seasons when he walked closely with God and had a deep, deep personal relationship with God. This psalm reflects that maybe more than anything. Of someone who has a mature faith that has matured through walking through the ups and downs, through these seasons of feeling distance and feeling other seasons of feeling close, of hardship, tragedy, and great times. And through it all, I think David knew that God was with him, although there were times when he felt like he wasn't, and we'll see that today. David praised God, and David wrestled with God. He felt God's presence, and he felt God had abandoned him. He danced before the Lord with such abandon that his shorts fell off, and he was dancing naked. That's true. I haven't done that, but David did that. So he had great joy. and praise God. And he also experienced deep depression, I think. John Calvin, you know, the founder of Presbyterianism, once said that the Psalms are the anatomy of the soul. Meaning, the Psalms, if you read through them, and I encourage you to do this. You know, we had this series on the Psalms last summer. But know these things. Memorize these things. They're good to have in your heart. Just like I want to memorize, for us to memorize Psalm 23. They reflect all the emotions of life, the anatomy of the soul. And we can certainly see this range of emotions in the Psalms which David wrote. So let's read this psalm together in our attempt to memorize it. And let's begin. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. God, we pray that you would take these words from this beautiful psalm and the meditations of my heart, and I pray that you would use both to encourage those who need to be encouraged today, who are discouraged for whatever reason. And I pray that you would use them to challenge those of us who need to be challenged, to walk more closely with you, to open up our lives to you more and more each day. So God, speak to us now, we pray, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. So today we are focusing on verse 3, very short verse. He restoreth my soul, or he restores my soul. It's my guess that at least a few people here today, and maybe a few more who are listening online, my guess is that these words can resonate deeply with you today. He restores my soul. I say that because all of us, at one time or another in our lives, we feel like we need to be restored. We need restoration. Have you ever experienced a time when your life needed to be refreshed or renewed or restored? Maybe it's because you have felt distant from God. You don't feel connected as you have in the past. Or maybe you're disappointed in God. You know, we get disappointed in God. You prayed and prayed for something, maybe for years, and God just never answered your prayers, or never answered them in the way that you hoped they would be answered. Or maybe you've had a difficult time in a relationship, and the energy you have expended trying to heal that relationship, to make it work, has left you just feeling depleted, worn out, burned out. All kinds of things can make us feel this way, whether it's being distant from God, or stress at work, or worry, or just too many demands. We have so many demands today in our lives. Or maybe you've just simply wandered from God. You know how that happens? You get busy with other things, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in the far country, feeling totally distant from God. All of us have been in places like this at one point or another in our lives. You know, David certainly felt this way. And if you read through the Psalms, you'll see that a number of Psalms are attributed to David. And there are all kinds of Psalms, including Psalms where David expresses feeling lost or depressed or far from God. In fact, here's what's really interesting. You know, the Psalms are placed strategically. They're just not randomly thrown in the order that we find them. And the Psalm that immediately precedes Psalm 23 is, of course, Psalm 22. And wow, go home and read that Psalm in its entirety. I'm going to read the first couple of verses, but you'll see so different. So very, very different from Psalm 23. Now listen to the opening verses of Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? We know those words from Jesus on the cross. Most likely, Jesus had memorized this psalm and he was quoting this verse. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, and I find no rest. Wow, what a different psalm than Psalm 23, right? This great psalm where we get so much comfort. Oh, he leads me, makes me lie down in these green pastures and leads me beside still waters. Great pictures of confidence and faith and this close connection with God. And then here's Psalm 22. You get the sense that David is at the end of his rope, no doubt, feeling defeated, feeling just completely deflated, abandoned by God. I think a good way of saying this is his soul is crushed, isn't it? Feeling like God was distant, not at all listening to his cries for help. So interesting that in these verses at the end, he says, I can't find rest. And yet, you know, this first few verses of Psalm 23, it's all about rest, finding rest in God. Now, let me make a few observations about all of this. First of all, and we all know this, but good to know, we will have ups and downs with our walks with God. No doubt, right? My guess is if I said, hey, let's break up into groups 4 or 5 right now and let's share our faith journeys openly with each other. I think all of us would have one thing in common, don't you think? For sure. We will have had times where we feel distant from God. We will have times when we've turned our backs on God and went in another direction. We will have seasons when we just don't feel like God is at all present in our lives. And we don't even think about God. And we will have times when God is very close. And we feel his comfort like we do see in Psalm 23. You know, come thou fount of blessed... Come Thou Fount of Blessings is one of my favorite hymns, and the last verse is the best. I'm not going to sing it because I'm still kind of sick, but oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace now, like a fetter, this is my favorite line, bind my wandering heart to thee. And here it is, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it for thy courts above. We are prone to wander, aren't we? John Wesley got it right. We are prone to wander, whether it's because we're disappointed in God, or we get distracted, or busy, or think we can do life better on our own, or we yield to some temptation. You remember when we studied the parable of the lost sheep, my favorite parable? We discovered that sheep often get lost by a little bit at a time. Remember, I said that, you know, sheep often start munching. They're very food motivated, like my golden retriever. And they start eating a little grass, and they eat a little patch, and without even lifting their heads, they see another patch over there a few feet away, and they go to that one, and they start eating that patch, and devour that, and then they eat another patch another few feet away, and they just keep doing this because they're always hungry. And all of a sudden, after doing this for a while, they finally look up and realize they're all alone. They're stupid animals. And you know, David is saying we are sheep in this psalm, so be offended. But they get lost just a little bit at a time, not intentionally even. They just keep munching away. Before you know it, you're far away from God. Well, that's often how we get lost. So we're prone to wander. Second observation is this: God is in the business of restoring lives. That's God's business. That's the gospel, really. You know, this verse 3, He restores my soul, it really hangs on two Hebrew words. One is the word nephesh, or soul. And most translations translate it as soul, but some say life. My life, He refreshes my life. It can mean both. The other word is shuv, or restore. It can be translated restore, or renew, or refresh. Now, what do these two words tell us? Well, they tell us that God is the one who does the restoring. God can rebuild our lives. It is His power and His love and His forgiveness and His mercy and His healing power. And I think this is very much about healing. Just like that's why this balm in Gilead spoke to me so much this morning. Part of God's restoration in our lives is healing our past hurts. Those deep wounds that we have for whatever reason. And can I just say as a side note here, I would say if I was to give a testimony as to what God has done in my life as a Christian, I would say, oh, God has brought a lot of healing in my life. He heals us. A lot of wounds. All of us carry around, right? Some way from the past. And part of God's work in our lives, part of this idea of sanctification that God is making us whole, it is so much about healing. And setting us free from the hurts that can really dog us our whole lives. God can do that. That's the gospel. That God can take a life that's scattered in a million pieces and rebuild it, restore it. Oh, praise God, right? Can I hear an amen from the choir today?
Amen.
Thank you, choir. That's so. Can I hear an amen from the congregation? Good job. This is the gospel, the good news. There's no life beyond restoration and being made new. I love 2 Corinthians 5, you know, where Paul writes, you know, anyone who is in Christ, anyone who has Christ in them is a brand new creation, a new person. The old is gone, the new the new life has sprung up. You know, that's just not once that happens in our lives. That happens over and over and over and over again. God is making something new in our lives when we open up our lives to God and let His love and forgiveness and mercy do its restoring work. Such good news. No one is beyond it. And only God can do that work. I think I've done this before, but remember the rhyme, the children's rhyme, Humpty Dumpty? Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And then what happened? But God can't. And God is the only one that can bring that restoring, healing, new life. He can breathe His very life into us. God restores. But you know what? We have a responsibility too. Well, let me add this too. So shuv, restore. God can build our lives. But here's what I would say about nefesh. I like to translate it as life instead of just soul. Here's why. God just doesn't refresh our soul. God isn't just interested in our religious lives, our spiritual lives. God is interested in our whole life. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. And God's restoration involves all those parts of our lives. He does the work and breathes new life into all of our life. Now, here's the interesting thing about the word shuv. It means to restore or refresh, but it also, interestingly enough, is used to describe turning around or returning. It is a word that is often used for this idea of repentance. And repentance means, you know what it means? It just means simply turning around. You're headed in this direction and you turn around. I'm not going to be able to turn around all the way because I'll lose the mic, but there, a quick turnaround. And you're headed in that direction. 180 degrees. That's repentance. And so our responsibility on this, and I would also say it's just we turn toward God. We may be moving in a direction or turning away from God, but we just turn around and it's just a little crack maybe. Just a little step. And God's waiting. And God will restore. Now, we saw this in the story of the lost son, right? He finally comes to his senses and he said, what am I doing? You know, the hired men on my dad's farm get treated better than this. And so he decides to go home. And what happens? There is his father who has been waiting, scanning the horizon for this lost son to come home. This is how God is. He's always waiting. He's always looking for us. He will always welcome us back. You know, that's one of the most amazing things for me about the character of God. You know, if we had this bratty kid tell us to go die, basically, or if we have a friend that shuns us, are we so humble as to just receive them back, and not just to receive them back, but, you know, in this parable, the prodigal son, God restores his son back to his status. He gives him the rings and the sandals, all symbols of restoring him back to sonship. The son says, hey, just have me back as a hired hand. God says, oh, no, 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 you're my son. That's the God who restores. You know, if you read Psalm 22 in its entirety, and I know you all will today because I told you to, right? You will see David pour out his heart before God. It's a beautiful psalm. He's honest with God. He's wrestling with God. And in that wrestling, in that dialogue, in that honest exchange, conversation, there's a slow progression from feeling abandoned to remembering God's goodness. And by the end of the psalm, you can see the restoration has begun. He is being restored in the midst of his struggle so much that he is able to write the words of Psalm 23. And then if you read Psalm 24, it goes even further. It's triumphant. Psalm 23 is kind of the middle where we live. The last observation is this. God will never quit. God will always be there for us when we turn toward him and seek restoration. God will finish the work that God has started in us. He will never quit. David's statement, "He restores my soul," it's a great affirmation about the faithfulness of God, the tenacity of God to restore his people, his sons and daughters. God will restore our lives not just once, but over and 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 over again. Paul encouraged the Philippians with this promise when they were discouraged. He wrote, "You know, for I am confident of this very thing, that he, God, who began a good work in you, started working in your lives, developed this relationship with you, he will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." That day when we see Christ face to face, this is what God does. You know, we give him a crack and man, he takes everything. And he'll carry it on. He doesn't quit. He's always there. Well, we are prone to wander, but God is completely faithful and will always work in our lives to bring us back to him and to restore us and to heal us and to make us whole. This is God's grace. It's pure grace. Pure grace, unconditional love. God is always there for us to come home, and he will always welcome us with hugs and kisses. Let's pray. God, I pray for anyone here this morning who feels maybe a little bit like David in Psalm 22. Their soul is crushed. They're burned out, maybe at a rope's end. God, I pray that they would just make that little step to turn back to you, to open their hearts to you. And God, I pray that you would, as you always do, you will be very happy to restore and to heal, and to mend, and to forgive, and to bring new life. God, we thank you so much for your faithfulness and for your constant love that is always there for us. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.